but it's down to Pallone Ranger and Jeremy's Jet. Which of these will take the lion's share of $1 million? Jeremy's Jet on the inside, dead game, captures the matchup.
Moving pictures on the backfield is coming on. Moving pictures on the far outside, reaches up for Mark McDonald to win the Breeders' Crown Open Mare Pace. It is Moving Pictures with a 9-1 stutter and 1-3-1.
Tying up on the end of it, trying to reach Mystical Sunshine. And it's Peaceful Way with her brilliant winning way to capture the Arbroath
Lion. The great horse has done it again. The great gladiator, the gladiator gris, la perle de une 74e victoire en carrière.
Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. Greetings, g'day, g'day, as they say down here in the Ottawa Valley. Norm Borick, your host, from the studios at Rideau-Carlton Raceway, and this is part two of our discussion on what is going on with racing in the province of Quebec. You can get as many stories as there are out there, and everybody will give you a different take. We're trying to go as close to the source as we can. And certainly as a fan of this sport, and I think I speak for most people that are listening, we do want Quebec racing to succeed. Will it? Doesn't look good right now. But we're going to be talking to a representative of the horseman side to see if we can make any sense of this. Richard Carper of Attic, straight ahead on Trot Radio. Welcome back to Trot Radio, and as I said at the outset, it doesn't get any easier to decipher, but in the interest of fairness, I think we should talk to the people who are the most affected by this morass, which is the Quebec racing situation. And for that, we go to Mr. Richard Carper. Richard is a former president of the organization known as ATAC, which is basically the Horseman's Organization. He is currently a director. Richard, welcome to Trot Radio.
Thank you, Norm.
Okay, I think we should start from where we are right now and go back a little bit so that we can figure out what the next steps might be. Currently, it's before the courts, the reorganization of Attraction Épique, and they've had a number of delays. What's the latest that you know?
Well, the latest situation, what we're waiting for right now, is for the judge to determine, this is a bit of an aside, but for the judge to determine whether she's in a conflict of interest situation or not, and if so, to step down.
Can I ask you something here? Because this is what I don't understand. Sources tell us, and they're pretty public, they're saying this judge had to have known for a long time that her husband was being paid by Attraction Épique to help them in their reorganization. How come now she finally wakes up and says, with all due respect, wakes up and says, oh, I might have a conflict?
Well, to be fair to her, I don't know that her husband's being paid by them. He works for the firm that is representing the creditors.
But he is paid by Attraction Épique, is he not?
The firm is being paid. The firm
right.
He works for.
Right.
Now, why has she gone till now? I couldn't tell you. She had to know all along. I guess all along she hadn't decided whether that caused a conflict of interest or not, and she still hasn't decided that. We're waiting for her to come back and decide that. It's a funny situation in the justice system where the judge herself has to determine if she's in that situation or not.
Okay, here's what I don't get then. All this is going on while Attraction Épique continues to operate at simulcast facilities in Montreal, correct?
Exactly. And the VLT machines.
Right. Okay, so effectively what they're doing is something we can't do here in Ontario, which is if you don't have live racing after a certain period of time, you get no slots. You get no simulcast.
Well, it should be the same way here. And it probably could happen in Ontario. What's happened, of course, is they've got protection from bankruptcy. And under the laws, when you get C-36, when you're protected from bankruptcy, all other contracts become invalid for the moment.
Here's an issue that has been bugging me because I've been a fan of this game since I was knee-high to a toad. And Blue Bonnets, Hippodrome Montréal, as it's known now, used to be one of the jewels in the racing world here in Canada and North America. Why is it that the Quebec government wanted to, so to speak, bail out Attraction Épique with the proviso that Montreal becomes a parking lot?
Well, the land has got such value, and the city of Montreal wants to use the land for something else. So the government came up with a plan that, okay, under the new administration, the racetrack would be sold, but another one built. Had that gone through, that at least there would still be a racetrack in the Montreal area, and everybody could come out a winner. Unfortunately, because of what's happened to Attraction Olympic, that is down the tube at the moment, building a new racetrack. So the government still wants to sell the Blue Bonnets facility.
Well, that's what I don't get, and I don't want to put words in people's mouths, and I don't want to make accusations, but I think we can connect certain dots, and without casting dispersions, we can certainly look at this as reasonable people and say that just isn't right. You know, when somebody is as well-connected as the owner of Attraction Olympique and all these very convenient delays take place, it just doesn't look good in the public eye. And I'm not saying that, you know, directly there's an issue there legally, but I think everybody can see that this just doesn't look good. You guys have been forced to turn down the offer the government made. So what happens now?
Well, to respond to your statement, it is quite a travesty of justice that's going on. It's a problem in the justice system, obviously, in the Bankruptcy Act, where all other contracts are forgotten. So the horsemen are totally not even considered creditors in the situation legally and don't have very much say as to what happens in the reorganization. Our only hope as horsemen and people who love the sport as you do is that Attraction Olympique disappears at this point and that we can attempt to renegotiate with the government, because the government had made commitments that they're not living up to.
That's another story. I mean, the Lotto Quebec was supposed to supply Attraction Olympique with X number of VLTs. They didn't do that. The VLTs have underperformed, which leads me to the question, why even have VLTs? They're all over the province. There's no real incentive for a wannabe player to even go to, say, Blue Bonnets if they're just going to play VLTs. You've got them all over.
Well, it's not quite that bad. The VLTs, had this all gone down the way it should have, and the new track in Montreal been built first before the money was poured into Three Rivers and Quebec, I think we'd be in a better position. The 1,300 machines that would have gone with the new racetrack would have been in place, and I think financing would have been easier for Attraction Olympique to complete the project.
Let's try and find a silver lining here. Now, if I had a dollar for every time I've heard a rumor that a certain group is ready to step in and buy out Montreal and start all over again, I'd have enough money to buy out Massicott. What do you know? What have you heard? Is there any hope that we'll see racing in Montreal anytime in our lifetime?
Well, not a whole lot, Norm. I've heard those rumors, too. We've read the stories. But some of the people behind... Here's what happened this week, as a matter of fact. One of the men who's behind all the stories of opening a new racetrack and getting the permit actually called me this week and asked me if I had any ideas of what we can do now, which made me wonder where the hell is that plan, you know?
Yeah.
So I've got to wonder right now. Just a lot of talk at this point. Everybody wants to resolve the situation, but I don't know if anybody can really get it together. See, the government at the moment has got its hands tied. It has a contract, a valid contract, with Attraction Olympique. I don't think they can negotiate with anybody else at this point when they have the licenses in the hands of Attraction Olympique. But when and if that comes to an end, then perhaps the government will be free to negotiate other situations.
Can't a government pull a license from a racetrack, though?
I don't know if it can under this protection. Under the protection of the law, Attraction Olympique is not living up to his contract with SONAC, which is a government agency.
Right. SONAC, for our listeners, is basically a crown corporation of the province of Quebec that did own the four racetracks as they were between owners. Is that right?
Right, and has the mandate to look after equestrian situations in the province,
Okay. Mainly
horse racing and breeding.
All right.
The government's Attraction Olympique is not living up to the contract they made with SONAC when they bought the racetracks. But the government can't do anything about it because of the protection under the law.
Now, is that a Quebec situation under Quebec civil code, or do they run under the federal laws as it pertains?
The law is federal, the C-36, a federal law, but it's in the Quebec Superior Court.
So who do we blame here? Who would you say, from where you're sitting, and I understand you're going to look at this with a certain view, being a director of ADAC, who's got the big bulk of the blame here? Is it the government? Is it a Transhumanist Peak? Who would you say is the one most responsible?
I'd say the government is the one most responsible. I'm not pleased with the Transhumanist Peak hanging on because they are not helping the racing situation by dragging it out. But the government is the one that put this all together in order to see that the horse racing survives. It's not surviving. They haven't done the job. And you can't really, we don't have many people in this government who know what horse racing is or are very interested, unfortunately. I read in Alberta that former premier,
Ralph Klein, yeah.
Alberta horse racing. In Prince Edward Island, there's a minister of horse racing. The premier in New Brunswick is an active participant in horse racing. But in Quebec, we don't have anyone in politics that seems to be involved in it, unfortunately, and it doesn't get the attention we'd like it to get.
Can I ask you something? I know that the government did step up with an agreement. Why would they want to keep things going at the smaller markets and not focus on the province's biggest market, Montreal? Because if you don't have a solid racing foundation in Montreal, the rest of the province is going to go down from a racing perspective.
Well, the government knows that Blue Bonnets, everybody and his brother wants a piece of Blue Bonnets, of the land. The city of Montreal wants it. So it was left out. There isn't a racetrack in Montreal to replace it. So they didn't, in their proposal, they didn't say we're going to build a new racetrack. They just said, okay, we'll race in Three Rivers, Quebec, and Aylmer, which didn't make any sense.
It is a situation no racing fan wants to see. And I can tell you that as Quebec goes, so does this industry. Like anything else, we're very interconnected. I remember growing up as a kid, and when you mentioned the big tracks, Blue Bonnets, as it was known, was mentioned in the same breath, and I can only hope for the good of the industry overall, Richard, that somehow, we can find a way to work this thing out.
Well, I can remember when Blue Bonnets and Richelieu Park were number one in Canada. The top horses raced here, Brad Hanover, Albatross, Niatroff, and the top drivers. Keith Waples was stationed here.
Yeah.
Jim Copas was here.
I remember those names very well. We'll hope for the best. Richard Carper is the former president of ATAC, the Horsemen's Association in Quebec. He is now a director trying to give us his take on what the heck is going on with harness racing in the province of Quebec. Richard, thank you so much for this.
Thank you, Norm.
My thanks to Richard Carper of ATAC and to Ian Weatherly, of course, of Attractionnée Peak, who took part in this discussion in part one of these shows. We are back with Trot Radio next time, and when we do, let's hope to hear from you. What kind of shows do you want to see us do? Give us your comments, give us your questions, and we look forward to hearing from you. Trot Radio is a presentation of Standardbred Canada. Technical producer Chris Knowles. It's produced by Board Communications.